A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
That's a famous scene from the movie The Ten Commandments, God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. Now, we often think of that in very generic terms, just kind of a deity there appearing to Moses, but he makes some claims about himself, even gives Moses, and therefore his people, his own personal name. He tells Moses who he is when he sends him to deliver his people, and he says he is going to deliver them, but he's going to send Moses to be his chosen instrument. What does all that mean, and who is the God that is speaking to Moses out of the burning bush? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, October the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker joins us here for the first 45 minutes or so of the program. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Moses at the Burning Bush, in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4. Then we'll go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be listening to some of those comments and responding to them in our two of Issues Etc., 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Moses at the Burning Bush in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
The story of Moses in the burning bush is part of a bigger story of how he got out there into the wilderness and how the book of Exodus presents Moses' entire life. Before we get to the details there, how does the New Testament interpret and read this story about Moses?
And we'll just stick with the beginning of Moses, namely being under Pharaoh, and then, of course, why he had to flee from Egypt, because the New Testament is replete with things that happen during the wilderness, because Jesus becomes the new Moses and does perfection in light of the fact that things weren't perfect, including that tremendous miracle where Moses lifted up a bronze serpent and people were healed. And even John says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so Jesus also will be lifted up. But if you're talking about this specific Sunday school lesson, I think the best passage to look at is Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 24. This is the famous faith chapter of the Bible. By faith, so-and-so, so-and-so. Here's what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And that's, of course, when he killed the Egyptian who was really being mean to some of the Israelites. He could have just ignored that and continued to have the fleeting pleasures in Pharaoh's court, but he instead chose to be with the people of God. Why? Verse 26. You know, nothing happens in the Bible without Jesus being involved. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then it goes on, by faith he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, etc., etc. So the New Testament harkens back to Moses, showing his faith, and also as the forerunner of the great faithful one, namely Jesus Christ.
So the New Testament teaches us initially how we ought to be going through the life of Moses and understanding these very familiar Sunday school stories.
There is so much that is happening with Moses. We're going to be talking about, guess where God appears to Moses? In a sense, in a burning tree. How does God appear to us? With Jesus on a cursed tree. Again and again, we could spend 3 hours showing the parallels between Moses and Jesus and the events that are coming up, as well as some other parallels.
So we start there in verse 11, where it does talk about Moses finding himself on the wrong side of the law. He finds an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and it says he looked away that way and that, and he struck down the Egyptian, hid him in the sand. Pick up the story there and tell us what's going on with Moses.
Well, what happens is that he's defending these folks, namely his people, against this Egyptian. And the next day, he finds two of them fighting. And he says, why do you strike your companion? And the one Israelite says, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Which is kind of interesting. It's the same words the Pharisees use against Jesus in another context. And then the Israelite says, do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And then Moses was afraid because he knew the thing was known that he had murdered the Egyptian. And the next verse is really important. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well, and then it goes on from there. But I want to make one point here. When the Concordia Publishing House material, Growing in Christ, it says, isn't that interesting that God chose both a murderer as well as someone who did not speak well? And when they made that statement, I didn't realize they were talking about Moses, but it is Moses they were talking about, because he comes down in Exodus 4, verse 10, Lord, I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech and of tongue, and of course, right here he murders. But it suddenly struck me, there's another person that God chose, who also did not speak well and was a murderer. And his name was Paul. If you take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul writes, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So he admits he really wasn't speaking that eloquently. And then, was he a murderer? Acts 26, verse 10. He says, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And that's really kind of interesting that God chooses the least likely people. And that's really true in my case when I look in a mirror. Here I'm a pastor, I'm on the radio, I'm speaking God's word, and yet I, with everybody else on Sunday morning, confess truly, I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. It's a real insight that God is really behind all redemption, all rescue, all salvation, but he uses people who just don't seem to have the gifts.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, October the 5th, Moses at the Burning Bush in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4. When we come back, well, how does Moses get to that state? He is 40 years there as a shepherd. He now has wife, children. I'm sure Moses is thinking when God appears to him in the burning bush that this is his retirement. Moses is on a completely different path than God puts him on. We'll talk about that with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspecifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilker. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're at Moses and the burning bush in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4. Tom, let's pick up the story right there. So this is now 40 years that Moses has been out of Egypt. He is a shepherd. He has a wife. He has children. I'm pretty sure he's probably thinking that this is his retirement, or this is the rest of my life. What happens next?
Well, just before chapter 3, we hear that the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. You know, how different that is going to be than when they are finally redeemed, they get into the wilderness, and they start complaining to Moses. They wish they were back in Egypt where they had better food and water and this sort of thing. But here, it's very clear they were crying out to God for help. And I think the Sunday school teachers need to help the students see that sometimes we cry for aid from God, and then sometimes when He answers it, we're still not that happy with Him because He didn't answer it in the way we thought it should have been answered, and it shows once more that God is so greater than us. But one day, as he's keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, he goes into the wilderness and comes to Horeb. Now, that is Mount Sinai. And the ESV says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst." But then in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to God to see, God called him out of the bush. So we believe, teach, and confess here that the angel of the Lord is God himself, none other than the second person of the Trinity. And Pastor Peter Krosky has written a tremendous book, The Angel of Angels, showing 70 times where Jesus appears in the Bible. And you normally can tell it because of the angel of the Lord or the context. And he then speaks to Moses. Now, this is really interesting. The bush is not burning to become destructed. If Moses had been there the day before, that bush would have been there, but it was not with the presence of the Lord. I use this to help explain the Lord's Supper. People say, how can you folks, I communed a shut-in this morning and said to her that she's receiving the true body and blood of Christ under the bread and the wine, and the question is, how can that be? And I often use the burning bush, because God is not a burning bush, but at that point he was in with and under the burning bush, his presence, his holy presence, his sacramental presence, to the point that Moses had to even remove his sandals to approach God. And that's what happens when we approach the Lord's Supper, that we also remove that which is unholy, namely in repentance. Remember, every time you have the Lord's Supper, it always is preceded by a confession of sin and the absolution. So I think this is a beautiful example. I got it from Martin Chemnitz, who uses the cloud in the wilderness and the Holy Spirit as a dove to show that at times God places himself in with and under some physical object like the Holy of Holies, but he is truly present there. So 2 points. This is Jesus Christ. He says he's God, and then the conversation continues between him and Moses.
So to make it quite clear, and this will come up again in future conversations where we're talking about Moses going up to meet face-to-face with God on Mount Sinai that will come later in the story. This is the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ, here appearing to Moses and speaking to him.
Well summarized.
What does he say to Moses? What does he call Moses to do?
He calls Moses to go and redeem the people who are in Egypt. He says, I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings. Now, verse 8 is really critical, because it appears like when Jesus said, I'm going to die and then be raised 3 days later, it seems that the disciples forgot about the 3 days later and said, no, you're not going to die. And here also, I know their sufferings. Now listen, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Well, Moses seems to have forgotten that, because he starts trying to make excuses that he's not good enough to be sent to redeem the people of Israel, the children of Israel. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I mean, God just finished saying, I'm the one who's going to deliver them. And it's kind of like a pastor. And there are unfortunate Christian pastors in the world who don't think that they can forgive sins. They don't think they have the power. And they'll say, who am I to forgive sins? Well, they have the authority. Moses doesn't have any power to get rid of Pharaoh's anger against Israel, but he has the authority from God. He's going to be speaking for God, and it's just really quite amazing. God says, I'm the one going down to deliver them, and I'm going to do it through you. And that's something very important the Sunday school teacher needs to get across to the children, that many of the children can bring people to faith, not because they have the power to do so, but because they can use the Word of God in its appropriateness, and the Holy Spirit can create faith in those people using the children and as they grow older. So this is up to this point then.
So God has told Moses, I'm the one who's going to deliver them. Why is Moses reluctant? You mentioned before that God tends to choose these people who are least qualified. In fact, we would say not just unqualified, but they have strikes against them already. Moses seems to be aware of this a little bit and argues with God. Talk about that.
Yes, in chapter 4, which is the last chapter, he says, they're not going to believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. And so what the Lord does, he gives them 3 miracles to do. He tells them to throw down his staff, and it becomes a serpent. He says, put your hand inside your coat, and it comes out leprous like snow. And he says, if they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, this is verse 9 of chapter 4, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and it will become like blood. Now, one would assume that having seen two of the miracles already, namely the serpent and the leprous hand, Moses said, okay, let's go. No! Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. The Lord actually gets angry with him. And this is verse 14. The Lord's anger was kindled against Moses, but the Lord always has an answer. You know, you got a brother. His name is Aaron. And I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. That is a tremendous lie. God, because of his foreknowledge and omniscience, knows that Moses is going to be fighting him. So he already has Aaron coming out to meet him. I mean, how many times have we prayed for something, and then you go to the mailbox, and the prayer is answered somehow? And you know that God had to have it set up ahead of time. I mean, there are so many examples like this. And so, therefore, Moses now, with Aaron, is ready to return to Egypt.
In the midst of that conversation, Tom, and against kind of an answer to Moses' arguments against his qualifications, he even says at one point, I don't even know what to call you.
Yes.
Who am I going to say sent me? And the people are going to ask me. And God provides him with his name. This is a very, very significant event here, not just in the life of the Old Testament people of God, but in all of human history. This is the first time God reveals his name and himself to mankind in this way, isn't it?
This is tremendous. And I'll tell you who I use to help explain this. I use Popeye. Popeye? Well, let me explain. He says, what is your name? And God says, I am who I am. Now, we believe that's Yahweh in the Hebrew. That's Y-A-H-W-E-H. The trouble is, the Hebrew is written in consonants, so we're not sure what the vowels were. We assume they were A and E. And unfortunately, some people misunderstood this because the Hebrews never used the name Yahweh. They would put different vowels over it for the word Adonai, and if you transliterate what they had there, you ended up with the word Jehovah. Now, nobody ever called God Jehovah in the Old Testament times. They would see the vowels and say Adonai. But I want to say something about what does it mean, I am who I am? Well, it's actually a quote from Popeye I use. Popeye wants to go out with olive oil, and Bluto says, no way, I've already asked her out. And Popeye says, nope, she says she's going out with me. And Bluto says, well, who's going to stop me? And Popeye says, I am who I am, puff, puff, on his pipe. What does he mean, I am who I am? And this is how I like translated, I am who I am. I fulfill what I promise. So when I make a promise to my kids, let's say we're all going to go to McDonald's because they have a sale on pork sandwiches, and they look at me and say, really? And I say, well, look who you're talking to. I just made a promise. I'm your father. We're going. I am who I am. When God says I am who I am, this is the gospel that once he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. And therefore, he's just made a promise to Moses because of the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's going to take the people out of the land of Egypt and return them to the land they have been promised, namely the land of Canaan. And so it's just amazing. Like, my name is Tom Baker. What does that mean? That I make bread or something. But if I want to do a character of me in a positive way, I would say Tom the Promise Keeper or something like that. Even though I fail many times to do that, but that's what God really is. He's the promise keeper. And I would spend quite a bit of time showing the children that I am who I am, which comes from the copular verb to be, really is saying that once I say something, it will be fulfilled. And that's why the name of God also is, of course, the name that Jesus uses when he's referred to as Lord. By the way, in the New Testament, when the word Lord has all capital letters, that is referring to the name of God. And Jesus makes no bones about it, that he is Yahweh.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be right back.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urbanministryconference2015.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson in Exodus chapters 2, 3, and 4, Moses at the burning bush. So Tommy's been given the call. He has been given God's name. He's been given authority to speak and to work signs and wonders in God's name. Does he immediately then jump up and go?
No. He still wants to make excuses, and he still, you know, is afraid. But finally, he goes back to his father-in-law in verse 18 and following. Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are alive. And he says, go in peace. And the Lord says to Moses, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. Talk about God setting the stage ahead of time. And these would be, of course, the Pharaoh who wanted to kill him, as well as any of those who would remember Moses. And therefore, he takes the staff of God in his hands, and he returns to Egypt.
And it seems from that point on, at least the way the story's told, Tom, we'll get into it in future conversations.
Yes.
All this doubt and self-doubt, at least for the time being, just kind of disappears from Moses. He goes in and he encounters Pharaoh again and again and again. He does pretty much exactly as God wants him to do.
Yes, because when God gives a command, it is impossible for us to obey it perfectly. But when he gives a promise connected to that command, he then gives us the ability to do it. For example, I don't know about you, but boy, the first time I ever preached, who am I to get into the pulpit, speak the word of God? And I remember how nervous I was that first time. And obviously God had called me because I had a call to a particular place. I got into the pulpit. And now I sign up to get into the pulpits at congregations around the country, at the IC and this. I just love preaching. And it's not that I think I'm really, really that good, but God has given me a confidence to know that even when I misspeak, it's amazing how many times people will come out of a sermon and say, boy, that was really good. And I ask them, what did you like about it? And then they say something I can't even remember saying. Because the Lord uses sermons to help people in their particular situation. All he needed was a voice like Moses or Tom Baker. And when that voice is heard, the Holy Spirit takes it and does the impossible.
And this is not just a call of Moses to be a great deliverer. Moses is going to be now God's prophet. He is going to be, as the very end of the book of Exodus will remind us, the prophet par excellence, the one after whom there's no equal except for the fulfillment of all of this in Jesus Christ. Talk about that.
The best passage to look at there would be Romans 10, verse 5, where Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. But he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And there's a number of passages in the Bible where Moses was instrumental in making clear the law of God for the purpose of showing that nobody could save themselves. And then Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that law, gives us the robe of righteousness so that from God's point of view, the dividing wall of hostility that was set up by us against God is now destroyed because of the cross of Christ, where Jesus took upon himself the punishment I deserved. So he becomes the new Moses in a way that Moses prophesied. Remember, he says there's even one coming greater than myself. And this is important. It's found in Acts 7, verse 37. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. This is the one, now Paul's writing this, sir, who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai. And therefore, that's how all this gets tied together in the New Testament to show that God is the author of every phrase in the Bible and has one purpose, and that is to show us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Now, Tom, there is one little odd story here that probably won't make it into the Sunday school classroom because it's difficult to explain, and it's probably not entirely appropriate for children of all ages, and that is the fact that when Moses starts back to Egypt, he's not circumcised, nor is his son, if I'm mistaken. Maybe Moses is. And it says that God tried to kill him. And then And there's a strange exchange with one of his wives. What's going on there?
This is in chapter 4. When you go back to Egypt, Lord says, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles. I will harden his heart. Thus the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. And if Pharaoh refuses to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. It was then that she said, a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. So that probably will not be brought up in Sunday school, but it shows once more, we got to go back to Abraham, that circumcision became a sign that one was truly part of the children of God. And remember, even Paul, even though circumcision was no longer necessary, with one Timothy and the other Titus, one he circumcised, the other didn't. He didn't circumcise when the people said, you don't go to heaven unless you're circumcised. And therefore, he refused to do it. But when he circumcised the other one, it was so that the people would be comfortable with one who had been circumcised and be able to listen to him, and there was not something that was offensive to them between the words he was saying to them from God.
So he goes back, and he's fully prepared in every way by God, not in and of himself. He doesn't even have his own son circumcised. But he's fully prepared now to act as God's spokesman to Pharaoh and to God's people.
In fact, he's so well prepared. Remember, God sets up the ducks ahead of time. He knows what's going to be going on. It says in verse 31, and remember, Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped, obviously, to the Lord. So all the prophecies that God had made up to this point are coming true because God prepares the hearts. Just like I remember once a pastor telling me there's nobody who can't be converted. And that really changed my view on how I would do evangelism. I just assume now that the Holy Spirit can convert anybody. If he can convert a murderer like Saul on the road to Damascus, there isn't anybody that cannot be converted by the Holy Spirit. So our task to be successful, the Sunday school teacher's task, is to say the word of God in the best way that is possible so that they come to be the church where the word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That number, by the way, 618-223-8382. We'll get to your email right after this.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Better is one day in your courts.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Bless and preserve us.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.